The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and the first 8 verses of the Gospel, and reading the words in Jesus' name. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor man, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, these words that are before us, they are indeed your words. And Father, we pray that we would be able to read them, we would be able to look upon them, and that you would give words to explain and to lift us up so that we would understand and know, and that we would leave here, Father, acknowledging that indeed you are God. Father, we thank you for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. This first verse of this text, while it is not written in, well, in my Bible, it's written with the red. The letters are all red letters. It's because of what Jesus said. But this first parable, or this first verse, kind of sets the stage for what Jesus wanted to teach his disciples. And he goes on and he says he spoke a parable or an explanation to them to this end, that the men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes on with the story of the judge. Now, the significance of this, of these down through verse 5, the judge certainly wasn't a believer. I mean, he said he feared not God, neither did he have any regard for any man. But this woman who came up to him and told him, he said, avenge me of my adversaries. It doesn't go into any detail as to why, whether there was physical harm or it was a financial issue or whatever it was. But the judge at first, of course, didn't pay any attention or didn't hear her and just didn't seem to really care. But after a while, he started thinking, well, maybe I ought to do something about it. And it wasn't because of any goodness in his heart or anything on that order. He just kind of figured, just to kind of get her out of my hair, I'll just go ahead and, you know, do what she wants, do what's necessary. But then Jesus says in verse 6, and he said, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Jesus is telling his disciples, or those who are listening at that time, which I'm sure there were more than just the 12, that, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he was saying in through this? And as God so often does, he can use anybody that he wants to, as far as whoever they happen to be, whether they be believers or not. He can use them to his advantage and for a lesson for those of us who are in faith. Now, again, going back up into that first verse, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In another translation, it says, and not lose heart, which might be the way that we would say it today in today's language. But the key to this is not to be discouraged. Even though things can be tough at times, even though things can go astray, even though things are kind of, we're looking at them and saying, well, how is this ever going to work out? And yet the instruction is to always pray. In the chapter previous to this, in chapter 17, we read about the having the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which of course is very small. And I mean, I know I'm sure we've heard the explanation on that. But one of the things that I was reading in that, when it explained that verse, it says the tiniest of faith, the smallest. And there are times I'm sure each and every one of them have witnessed, or each and every one of us had have experienced, where, boy, I'm not sure I even have any faith anymore because of circumstances and things that are going on in our life. But it says here that the tiniest faith accomplishes remarkable things. Like the apostles, we may feel a weakness to our faith. Today, pray for the Lord's strength. His gift of faith is anything but weak, and he will grant you the strength to accomplish the impossible. And then it goes on, and a very familiar portion of God's word. When this individual came up to Jesus and wanted their child to be healed, and Jesus told him that if you have faith, then that will happen. And he told, his words were, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." We're constantly battling that. We're constantly having to battle Satan, who's always throwing stuff at us, always throwing darts. He's just throwing stuff at us all the time, trying to keep us from understanding and from believing. And yet, the tiniest of faith is enough to overthrow him. The smallest amount of faith, through prayer, he can be overthrown. And through prayer, that faith can begin to grow. There's something that I had read. I forget who it was that had written it. But anyway, he says this. He says, faith pours out prayer, and the pouring out of prayer obtains the strengthening of faith. Think about that. Faith pours out prayer. Why else would you pray if you didn't have faith? What are you going to pray for? Faith in and of itself will pour out prayer. And the pouring out of those prayers acts as a strengthening of our faith. And that's why it's so vital and so important to continually pray to God. Then he goes on and he says this, and it's something you have to, I'll read it a couple of times because it's, well, anyway, I'll let you decide that. So far, temptation advances as faith gives way. And so far, temptation gives way as faith advances. You see that? You see the correlation there? You see what is being said? If we're tempted to do something and ignore faith, faith gives way to the temptation. But if we're tempted to do something, but through faith we resist it, then the faith stands firm. And then through prayer, that faith is strengthened. And the resolve that is goes along with it. And that resolve being that we know that God is taking care of things and God understands what we're going through. That he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out to where everything is going to happen according to his will. Even though our flesh and even though our thinking sometimes won't believe that. Sometimes it just will not understand, it will not believe. Because this humanness that lives within each and every one of us cannot accept the fact that God's in control. God will work it out. He promises that. So when Jesus says, he said in the verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Just as this judge avenged this woman of whatever it was that she was going through, Jesus is telling his disciples, God will act in that same way. Through your prayers, through your understanding, through the things that the prayers that you cry out to him for, to avenge you of what you happen to go through. How is it that he does that? Or how is it that he did that? I guess is the way I should say it. God did that through the death of his son. God did that through the death of Jesus Christ. And we were all avenged. Satan no longer had a control. Satan no longer had a grip. And he was defeated. And all of those who believe now have that assurance of eternal life forever. You see, he knows. God has a plan. He has this all planned out in advance. He knows how it's going to work. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going to go through. He just wants us to continually cry out to him to help us through those times where things are going to get tough. And they will. Those things will happen. We're living in a sinful generation. We're living in a sin-cursed earth. And yet God is more powerful than all of that. He is much more powerful than all of it. And he says in verse 8, "And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." He'll avenge them quickly because of the death of Christ. Now we have that hope. Then he said, he asks a question then at the latter part of that verse. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" It was a little bit of a mystery. When I kept reading it over and over, I thought, well, what do I do with this? But what it was and what Christ was saying was that it was what they called a rhetorical question. Now, a rhetorical question, and I didn't have a real firm understanding about it. I've heard the term many, many times, but never really understood exactly what it meant. So I looked it up. Google is a wonderful thing to be able to use. But a rhetorical question is a question asked to make a point rather than get an answer. I thought that's a pretty good way to put it. And so basically what Jesus was saying to those who were listening him, God find faith on this earth? Yes, he will. But how is that going to happen? It is going to happen through prayer. It's going to happen through continually turning to God, continually pleading with him and asking him to help us through the situations that we're going through. Sometimes we'll walk away from those situations and still not feel very confident. But yet we have to keep that faith that God is indeed going to take care of it. God is indeed going to be able to do what needs to be done in his time, not in ours. But he does it in his time. And the beauty of that is that it is done perfectly. There are no loose ends. There's not some little straggling piece of string over there that you got to try to pull off. No. Everything is tied up nice and neatly in a bow. And it is a precious gift. It is a gift that is so complete and so sure that all things are answered and done. So when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Yes, he will. He will find it because of faith and because of prayer. Because that's the instruction that we are given. To continually, always to pray and not to faint. Always look to God for everything that you need, everything that you have to have, because he'll give it to you. And give him the glory that he so richly deserves. In Hebrews, I'll close with this, and it's something that I ran across one time where I was going through a tough time. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 5, we are promised these 8 words: I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's a promise that God has given us. And we know God's promises are complete and total. I will never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because we believe and trust in what he has done for us. We believe and trust in that death upon that cross. We believe and trust in the resurrection. And that hell was indeed, and the devil was indeed defeated. And sin was left where it should have been left, and not on our doorstep. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you, Father. And as we leave here today, Father, that we would be uplifted and to know and to understand that you do indeed love us. You do indeed want the best for us. And even though we have to go through struggles, and there are times where we go through trials, but yet, Father, we know that you have our best interest at heart. And we cling to that saying that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we thank you for that. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.